Lord, we do pray now that you'll speak to us as we reflect on your holy word. Amen. Well, please do be seated. At the 9:30 service, we had a quiz on the Bible passage, and I'm not going to split you into two sides now, but I thought I'd share the questions anyway, and don't be shy. I'm afraid they ate all the chocolate coins that I had, so if you wanted that, you had to come to the earlier service. I'm going to go through these questions because I think they do help us just to get to grips with the Bible passage before we reflect on its meaning. So first question, quite easy. Who came looking for Jesus? The Magi. Not necessarily kings. That's a later tradition. They are wise men, possibly astrologers or astronomers from the Babylon area, and they made the journey. How many of them were there? Thank you, Pam. We don't know. Three is a tradition. We have three gifts, but we don't actually know how many there were. There may have been three. There may have been 20. We don't know. There we go. Why did they come, and what did they bring with them? Why did they come? Pam is on fire today. Yes, to worship Jesus. Easy to miss that as we get caught up in the tradition. They came. They said, where is the King of Jews? We have come that we might worship him. And they brought gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Now, who was king at the time? King Herod. Did he have the right to rule? Well, probably not, actually. He was installed by the Romans in AD 37. And, of course, the king of Judea should have been in the line of King David. So the Jews did not want Herod, and he was a rather nasty character, as we know. So King Herod asked the chief priests and the teachers of the law where the Christ or the Messiah was to be born. Their answer, of course, was Bethlehem. But how did they know? It said so in the prophecy, and that's quoted for us from Malachi chapter 5. It's quoted, in Bethlehem in Judea will come this ruler who will shepherd the people. What led the wise men to Jesus? A star, yes. And again, astronomers have looked back and they wonder it might have been a conjunction in 6 BC of Jupiter, the moon, and Saturn. It could be that because Jupiter represented royalty, and when the moon lined up, that would have represented a new king being born with a special destiny. When you throw in Saturn, that represented sometimes the Jews. So you can see how they came to the conclusion. It might have been a supernatural star or a comet, we don't know, but that's an interesting theory. Now, of course, Herod said he wanted to worship Jesus himself. Is that true or false? False. What did he want to do? He wanted to get rid of Jesus. He didn't want any competitors. And did you know that, I think it was the historian Josephus said it was safer to be Herod's pig than a member of his family. Herod was known for killing off family members. He was that paranoid about losing his position as king. So to kill however many children there were in Bethlehem, probably not that many, was meant nothing to him. So where did Jesus' family flee to and why? They fled to Egypt. Why? The angel gave a message and said so. Very good. Well, that's got us into the thinking. So we're going to remember our sermon this morning by our fingers. We don't need the thumb. That's not always a finger. So 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to see a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4. And the 1 reminds us that Jesus is the one true king. Herod wants to be the king, but no, Jesus is the one true king. I'm going to use some of the props I used earlier to remind us of this. A great big crown to remind us that Jesus is the one true king. Now, if you're familiar with Matthew's gospel, he presents evidence for this. I'm a bit of a fan of... Do you watch A Death in Paradise? Anyone else? I do quite enjoy it. And the last episode we watched... was It looked like a woman had killed herself, but of course the detective inspector smelt a rat. There was just a little bit of evidence. Only one fingernail was painted red, and he thought, that's unusual. So that was his first piece of evidence, and then he started uncovering and finding out that, of course, it was a murder, but it would be in Death in Paradise. But Matthew is doing a similar thing. He says, don't just take it that I say Jesus is king. Look at the evidence. He starts off his gospel, not in the way we would expect. He starts off by giving us the family tree of Jesus. Why does he do that? Well, because he wants to say Jesus is descended from Abraham and David. All the prophecy said the king would be in the line of King David. That's our first piece of evidence in chapter 1. Then in chapter 1 we see that the birth of Jesus is heralded by the angel Gabriel. That shows it's a special birth, and we know he's going to be Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. So the angel provides us with a second piece of evidence. And then we move into what we've been reading. Well, of course, yes, the virgin birth, that's a big one, that's the third piece. So the fourth piece is fulfilled prophecy. We saw that in our Bible reading twice. If you read through Matthew, again and again, he says, this happened to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament. And some boffin has worked out that there are 69 major fulfillments in the life of Jesus of Old Testament predictions. It's probably a lot more of a smaller ones too. 29 of those predictions came true in the last 24 hours before Jesus was crucified. So that is a huge piece of evidence. Jesus came along and fulfilled prophecy. Now, some of that you can do deliberately. You can sort of manipulate coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, but you can't manipulate the town in which you were born. Evidence that Jesus is the one true king. And of course, as we read through Matthew, we see lots more. There's the voice from heaven as Jesus is baptized and at the transfiguration. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. There's the evidence in all the miracles of Jesus. He raised the dead. He fed people from a small pack lunch, 5,000 people. He healed people. He calmed a storm with a word. And of course, he himself was raised from the dead. All evidence that Jesus is the one true king. And Matthew and the other gospel writers present us with that evidence so we can be confident that Jesus is the one true king. The followers of Jesus were transformed by this news. So one true king. Two, there are true responses to this one true king. We see both responses in this Bible passage. One, of course, is the response by Herod. And we're not at all late, so I won't ask for a volunteer to be Herod. But of course, Herod, well, I'll be Herod. Of course, Herod wanted to be king. He didn't want anyone else to be king. So he wanted to do away with Jesus. I'm the king, not Jesus. Of course, he failed. That's what he wanted to do. But the New Testament tells us that actually we all do this. We don't go out of our way to kill babies. Well, I hope not. But we all want to place ourselves as our own king. We want to be king of our own destiny. We want to obey the rules we write for ourselves. We find it difficult when God says, here's a way of living. If human nature is saying, well, I don't want to listen to that and obey that. I want to do my own thing, my own way without God. So we all are guilty of trying to dismiss Jesus. And as we look at our culture in England at the moment, that is more and more true, isn't it? People try and dismiss Jesus, make him irrelevant, or somehow just quieten him. That's one response, the world's response of darkness. Get rid of Jesus, we don't want to know. John's Gospel, chapter 1, he came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. But the other response is, of course, that some did receive him. And he gave the right to them to be children of God. The other response is to take off our crown and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come and worship Jesus. And this is the response we see in the wise men. They were led by the star for miles, all the way from the east. It must have been a journey full of hardship, but they made worshipping Jesus a priority. And when they got there, they brought the gifts, and they laid the gifts at the feet of Jesus. It's a challenge for us. Are we prepared to make worship of Jesus as the one true King a priority rather than positioning ourselves as King? One true King, two responses, three gifts. We've got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, gold represents a gift fit for a king, the gift of wealth. But it also symbolizes what we should be giving to God. We should give him whatever we have ourselves for his service. It might be money. It might just be our service and whatever we do. It might be serving in church or serving in a soup kitchen or praying. Whatever we do, we bring ourselves and we offer that to Jesus as the wise men did. It might be costly, but it's worth it. Because as we move on to the other two gifts, we get all the benefits of Jesus as the King. Gold is a gift fit for a king. But what about the incense and the myrrh? Well, the incense points to Jesus not as king, but as priest. He is our great high priest. And the role of a priest, certainly back then, was to enable people to come to the knowledge of God. And Jesus came to make God known to the world. We can have a personal relationship through Jesus with the Almighty God. And that's wonderful. So the incense reminds us of Jesus as priest. But of course, the other thing a priest did was to offer a sacrifice for sin. Because if we've been living our lives without God, our own way, that is sin. And for that sin to be forgiven as we come to God, there needs to be a sacrifice. And Jesus, of course, sacrificed himself on the cross. The myrrh is a pointer to Jesus being anointed after his crucifixion. It's like a kind of a... It's pointing us towards that crucifixion of Jesus. So we have gold, fit for a king, incense, showing that Jesus is priest, and myrrh showing that he is the sacrifice for our sins. And that means that when we come to Jesus in worship, yes, we might give, but we receive back tenfold. We come to the knowledge of the one true God. We can be in personal relationship with him, and we become his friends, reconciled. All our sins are forgiven, and we're given eternal life. Let's just put these down here. So, one true king, two responses, either reject Jesus or come and worship him. Three, the gifts, gift of gold. What can we give God? That's a challenge for us. What can we give God? And we get the benefit of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and knowing God. Four. It's not the number four. It's the one true king is for everybody everywhere. When the wise men came, they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" But they followed a star from a long way away. Were the wise men Jews? No, they weren't. And there's always the prophecies in the Old Testament that Gentiles, non-Jews, will come and worship the king of the Jews as their king too. So Jesus is not only king of the Jews, he is the king for everybody. The wise men followed a star. That's how they came to see Jesus. In the New Testament, Paul describes Christians in Philippians as stars shining in the dark, in a dark world. And so we are to be like the Star of Bethlehem. We're to be shining in a dark world and leading people to Jesus, both by living holy lives and by sharing the gospel or inviting people to church. So we too can be like the Star of Bethlehem and lead people to Christ as the wise men came. At the end of Matthew's gospel, we see that explicitly stated. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus saying, "I'm not only king of the Jews, I'm the king for everybody." and everybody can come from far away to worship me and to know life and know God. Let's just reflect on that then. One true King. Two responses. How should we respond? With what will we come to Jesus? What gift will we bring him? But knowing that we receive far more in return, eternal life, and knowing God personally. And how can we be stars shining in Elmswell, bringing people to see Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for revealing to us that Jesus is the one true King born in Bethlehem. Thank you that he is still King today. Help us to not push him away, but to worship him with all that we have. And thank you for all that he gives us, that we can be called his children, children of the living God, with life forever. Help us to share the good news, to be stars shining in this crooked world, shining the light of Christ, bringing his kingdom and the knowledge of him to others. May people be guided to Jesus through us. For his glory and in his name we pray. Amen.